Okay, so we're holding today in the Halakha Mishnah, Daf Kuf Amud Beit, and we're going to talk about what the halacha is in certain cases where we have to cancel the clauses of the ketubah that normally we would be using to refund bala'ot. You remember what bala'ot are? That could refer to two things. It could refer to nifsei tson barzel, where the Baal had a right to use it, and he had guaranteed repayment of anything that had lessened its value. And we have bala'ot also of the nechsei maluk, where he was only allowed to use the peirot. And what happens if he went ahead, let's say she brings a coat into the marriage, and he goes out and wears the coat, and wears the coat out. Those are also called bala'ot. And there are other things that are going to be canceled by certain problems. For instance, if she's a ketana and she walks out on him and she's mima'enes, it makes no sense to be machayev him just because she walked out, does it? So ha-mima'enet, ha-shniya, which is talking about one of the Isurei D'Rabbanans, and over there, since there's no real Isur D'Oraisa, but nonetheless, even though there's no mamzerut and so on, she does not get the rights of her ketuvah being, of course, the Yikr ketuvah. We'll see about the Tosefet. And an Ilanis. We're learning now that an Ilanis is a Mekachot, because he says, listen, if I would have known that she was sterile, I never would have married her. So the Mishnah tells us that Ein La Ketuvah, in this case, if the Mema'enet walks out on him, obviously they didn't give her a ketuvah. They only give her a ketuvah if he's Megarisher, or if he dies. The Shnia, that's a knas, because since her marriage is an Issur D'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan took away her rights to the ketuvah. And the case of the Ilanis, as we said, is considered to be Mekach Ta'ut, and therefore the Kedusha will never chal in the first place, wherever we nullify the marriage. So how would there be a ketuvah? So there, it says the Mishnah, not only is there no ketuvah, but there's also no peirot. Now remember that the peirot are given in normal circumstances. They're given in exchange for his providing insurance against kidnapping. And he gets to eat the peirot of nechsei maluk. In this case, however, when we say there's no peirot, we mean there's no din of peirot. So therefore, if she was indeed kidnapped, it's not his business to have to take care of her in this case. So why is that? Because any of the tna'im of the ketuvah, remember that the tna'im of the ketuvah are the things that are not written in the actual contract, but they exist in the virtual ketuvah, which is the tikkun vestin, and that's part of the ketuvah as per its takana. And therefore, all of the tana'im of the ketuvah are canceled if there is no ketuvah. And of course, there's also the question of peirot. If he ate peirot and he was in after the time which he should have paid it back, so he doesn't have to pay for, even though he's not going to be giving it the ketuvah, he doesn't have to pay back the nechsei maluk peirot that he ate, so that we allowed him to have the peirot, we don't give her the benefit of those peirot. So they're come. The low mizonot. So now, obviously, there's no mizonot if they're not married. I mean, it's a little ridiculous to say, but low mizonot means that even in the event that she had gone ahead and borrowed from mizonot, where normally, thank you, normally he would have to pay back. And referring, therefore, to the time in which before she had walked out on him, before he discovered she was an Ilanis, she went, borrowed money to pay for her peirot, he does not have to pay back. The low bala'ot. Now, I'm going to see more details about this bala'ot, exactly what we're talking about. But what Rashi understands here is the bala'ot, meaning the actual remaining things that are left behind, either from a nechsei tson barzel or a nechsei maluk, as we'll see. And that is, according to Tosfos, never referred to as bala'ot. That's referred to as bala'otah kayamin. So if over here it's talking about bala'ot, it seems to be referring to something that he was not supposed to use And we'll see what that's talking about, what is referred to according to Tosfos, as we'll see. In any event, let's move on to another case, which is that he knew she was an Ilonit. So, obviously, he can't say that it's a Mekach Ta'ut, and therefore, yesh la ketuvah, she has all of the Tanai HaKetuvah. Now, how about if she were an Almana L'Kohen Gadol, or Grusha V'Chalutza L'Kohen Hedyot? Well, there we're talking about an Isser D'Oraita, but since it's an Isser Lav, the Kedushin are Chalim. Mamzeret U'Netina L'Yisrael, Bat Yisrael Netina Mamzer, in all of these cases, since in this case there is a reason why the Baal would be to blame for this marriage, because basically her kids are going to be nifsalot on some level because of this. They'll become psulas for the kuhana, or they'll be considered to be an asin or a mamzer, and therefore she would not want to get involved in a relationship like this. And in this case, we assume that he was the one that's been trying to seduce her into the marriage, and because of that, the fact that he would have to pay the ketuvah is a knas on him for getting involved with her. And that would include, once there's a ketuvah, it includes, of course, all the tanafi ha-ketuvah. This way, it'll be less likely that he'll go ahead and marry a woman like that. Okay, now, there's two different girsaot in the Mishnah, and that's because there's two different ways of understanding what's going on. The girsa that we have is a mima'enet, which is mashma that a ketana, of course a mima'enet is always a ketana by definition, but a ketana who is not mima'enet is considered to be really married. And in the event that he dies, she would get a ketuvah. It's only because she was mima'enet. And that's our girsa. And in fact, Rav had a different girsa. Rav said a ketana, even if she was given a get, also all of these rules pertain. Ein la ketuvah, because he does not consider that to be a real marriage. Remember, when we talk about ketana, we are always talking about a ketana who was not married by her father to this guy. If they're married by her father, then it's a perfectly regular kedusha d'oraita. We're talking over here about a ketana where the Rabbanan made a takana. Remember, we want people to take charge of a ketana, because otherwise she's basically going to be on the streets and she's going to end up in the sex trade, and we don't want that to happen. So we encourage men to marry her. And the problem is, of course, that she could consider that itself to be very abusive if she doesn't like the guy. So part of the deal is that she could simply walk out. And she doesn't require any get. All she needs to do is say, I don't like this guy, and walk out of the house. So according to Rav, that type of relationship is really not marriage at all. And since there's no binding elements of the marriage, so we view it as basically shacking up together, and we see it as a seduction, so to speak, even though it's legal and so on. And it doesn't have the binding nature of marriage. And because of that, even if she was Yotze Beget, Ein La Ketuvah. So he doesn't take seriously the marriage of a ketana not through her father. And according to him, therefore, for sure, if she was Bima'enes, and she walked out, obviously, in that case, her kedushin are completely batel. That's the din of Niyun, remember. It's as if she were never married in the first place. And we see it as an annulment, not as anything more. And Shmuel, however, has argues. Shmuel tani mima enet in la ketuvah, avalayotze beget yesh la ketuvah. According to Shmuel, the marriage of a ketana not through her father, even though it's only a derabbanan and it seems more like a protective kind of thing rather than real marriage, is actually a perfectly normal marriage in terms of the way the Rabbanan treated it. And because of that, if she had a get and didn't just walk out of him and annul the marriage retroactively, then yesh la ketuvah. And this is Shmuel's shita all over. As the Shmuel ta'ami, the Omar Shmuel mima'enet in la ketuvah. But Yotza Beget, Yesh La Ketuvah. Furthermore, and Mima Enet, because of the fact that she cancels retroactively the Kedushin, it's as if she were never married, and therefore her husband is, she does not pasul because she was married to her husband, supposedly. She doesn't pasul his brothers for marrying her because she was never married to him. So therefore, she's not considered to be an erva that was once married to the brother. And what's more, Lopez Salamanakuna, she's not considered to be the equivalent of having been married and now being divorced. She was simply never married. Masha Ein Kena Ketana was Yotze Beget is like any other Grusha. And therefore, we treat her, obviously, only Midrabanan, but we treat her as if she's a Surah to his brothers, as if she's an Erva, and we treat her as Psula to a Kohen. So it's as if she got a real get. There's another difference, and that is that a Mima'enet Eina Tzircha La'amtin Shlosha Chodashim. There is no need for her, if she walks out of the marriage, there's no need for her to wait the requisite 3 months that are normally taken into consideration to make sure that she's not pregnant, so that we should be able to know who the father of the child is. And normally we're not going to worry about that anyway, because she's too young to have children. But if we viewed it as a regular marriage, we're going to start making distinctions between a case where she could have a child, a case where it's unlikely for her to have a child, and so on. And therefore, we would have given it in to a Grusha, we would have given it in that she does have to wait. We say, well, what are we waiting for? What's the chances of her being pregnant? But the point is that because we're canceling the marriage, that's why we're not waiting, says Shmuel. And she's not considered to be a Grusha, and therefore be within the 3 month waiting period to see whether we could notice a pregnancy. Marcia Inke Nektano, who got a get, didn't cancel the marriage. There, says Shmuel, Tzricha La'amtin Shlosha Chadashim, she would have to wait. I don't understand. There's no Kiddush in any of this. I mean, this is a Mishnah, no? I mean, every last thing here is in a Mishnah somewhere. I mean, if we have the Girsa a year of Mima in it, right? So we have certainly Shmuel's halacha from the Mishnah about the ksuva, that she doesn't have the ksuva. And furthermore, we have the distinction between the grusha who's a ketana and the mamanis, because it says specifically mamanis according to his girsa. Furthermore, we also have other Mishnayas in which all the other things are listed. Because it says, Amima enet be'ish, umutar be'krovotea. Ah, he's allowed to marry any of her relatives, and she's allowed to marry any of his relatives. So that takes care of the thing that Shmuel was talking about, his brothers. There you go. So we didn't need that. Furthermore, lo p'tzalam en akuna. Whoops, there goes Shmuel's other kiddush, that she's not considered to have ever been married, as far as the kohen is concerned. Mashen kein if natan laget. So then, yes, who has Sura Bikrovotea? Whoops, it's the next thing that Shmuel said. He has Sura Bikrova, Tisalam and Akuna, everything that he said. So what's the point exactly? Says the Gemara, there is one point. Show me where it says the thing about needing to wait 3 months anywhere. Doesn't say that in their Mishnah or there. So that is the Chiddush of Shmuel, that even though she is a ketana, and you would have thought, since she's a ketana, why wait for the possibility of pregnancy? Gamash Maran Shmuel, that is nonetheless part of it, to start making distinctions, and that doesn't appear in any Mishnah, the Lo Tnan, and therefore we have every reason to take Shmuel as a serious Chiddush. Says the Gemara, this machlokus over here about Rav and Shmuel as to whether a ketana is considered to be married. Remember, according to Shmuel, it's only where she's been ma'enes and undid the marriage. But according to Rav, even if she was really married, she still doesn't get a ksuba, even with a get, because she's never really married, unless her father married her off. So that seems to be a serious machlokas. Is that machlokas a machlokas tanoim? Because there is a braita that says like this, Eliezer Omer, Ein ma'aseh ketana klum. Anything that has to do with the kedushin of a ketana, that is not going through a father is absolutely meaningless to halacha. She's not considered to be his wife, even the rabbanan. And because of that, he doesn't get any of the rights that a ketubah normally provides. I'm sorry, could you get a tea? Yeah,
can I grab you a hot toddy? It's brilliant. Bit of whiskey, bit of...
I haven't had anything to eat all day because I'm worried to start with that.
Simple.
Yeah, just simple. So...
I'll have to do stuff.
So this machlokas goes like this. According to Rabbi Eliezer, he gets absolutely no rights through marrying a ketana. He is not zocher if she finds things, if she wins the lottery, if she has an income. Lo gamasi adeha. He cannot be made for any nedarim that she makes. He also obviously can't be made for nedarim, can he? I mean, if she will marry, I understand. I thought that the first nedarim is the derisa. So obviously, if she's married on the rabbanan, the rabbanan would have given him the halachas of, the Rabbona, but how could the Rabbonan allow him to be made for Nedarim if she's of the age to make Nedarim, which starts before her Gadlut? So if she's Yodat, let me know Deret, how could the Rabbonan anyway have allowed him to make for Nedarim? Well, they do. And the reason is, as we've seen before, that Kol Isha Nederet al Dat Ba'ala. And therefore, even if it's he is made for a Neder Deraisa on a condition of the Rabbonan, since she takes him seriously, the netter was originally made on that basis. So here it says that no, he doesn't get any schuyot according to Eliezer. He's not yorisher if she dies. He's not metamir if he's a kohen. Doesn't bury her. Look, the bottom line is, says Eliezer, kolo shadover. Look, here's the deal. She is absolutely not considered to be married in any way. Now that sure as heck sounds like what Rav said, right? The only thing that she's married is that she can't just walk out. She has to walk out by saying, I don't like you. Okay, so she needs me. You know, but if she didn't say anything and she's still there, then she's married. Rav Yeshua, amen? And that, what difference does it make? You'd say, because if in the middle she grows up and she's still there, so then any kind of intercourse that they've had is going to make her a real wife, unless she was in it. Okay, that's the only difference. Rabbi Yeshua says, what Shmuel says, apparently, not true. Maaseh Ketana are definitely when they're considered to be Kedushin Rabbanan. The husband is Zecher in Mitziata and Maiseyadeha and Afaras Nedorea. He is Yorisher and he's Metami for a Frizikoin. Metami for a Frizikoin, but they're not married many Raisa. How could that be? Ah, remember that we've discussed this before in Yevamos. And we came to the conclusion that she's considered to be a mate mitzvah, because since she's married to him, as far as everybody else is concerned, nobody's going to take care of her funeral if he doesn't. So because of that, he is betame to her if he's a kohen, and klolo shel davar, as according to the way that Rabbi Yeshua is learning, she is totally his wife. The only difference is that if she doesn't get a get and she decides to be mima in it, she can be mima in shiotza bimi'un. So, I mean, isn't this exactly the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel? Rav seems to be saying the kedusha of a ketana is nothing. That's what Rav Eliezer said. Shmuel says, no, she's considered to be migureshet and so on. If she gets a get, he's saying exactly what Rav Yeshua said, right? Obviously, we're not talking about Rav Eliezer. Everybody would agree. I mean, Rav Eliezer says, ein ma'aseh ketana klum. Of course, Shmuel would agree that according to Rav Eliezer, ein ma'aseh ketana klum. The machlokas of Rav and Shmuel was only on Rav Yeshua. Shmuel says, okay, what's your problem? I'm saying like Rav Yeshua, word for word. So you got a problem with that? So how could Rav say that what, he's going to fit into Rav Yeshua? Yes. Rav says, Rav says, I disagree. I think Rabbi Yeshua would agree with me too. Because Atka Mokom Rabbi Yeshua Hassan, Ela Nidida Lidide. Notice all of the things that Rabbi Yeshua mentioned. He mentioned a lot of things in the Ketuvah, but they were all things that she gives to him. he's your insurer. He gets your salary. That's great. Okay. So if that's the case, that's because even though Ein Kedusha Ketana Klum, according to me, says Rabbi Yoshua, remember that we are desperately interested in providing protection for Ketanot. How are we going to encourage protection if we don't give something that makes it worthwhile for a guy to marry a woman, and whatever investment he's going to be making, should we just walk out on him at any moment? There's got to be something in it for him. So because of that, as you'll notice, Rabbi Yeshua says, the things that he gets out of it, that's part of the ksuva that still applies. But the parts that are not in the ksuva for him, but for her, those don't apply. All those things that we talked about, the belos and the insurance policies and so on, that's not included. So therefore, I say Rabbi Yeshua would agree with me 100% also. Okay, so now it turns out that first of all, we have a machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer about bichlal, whether masek tana is at all. And then we have a sub machlokas, whether according to Rabbi Yoshua, who says that it is a normal marriage, does he mean literally a normal marriage with a normal ketuvah? Or does he mean only those things that encourage, as Rav claims, things that encourage men to get involved in a relationship like this? Is it cool? It's too hard. The low below out. Omar Le Ravuna Barfiel of Kahana. Amrit Lan Mishmei De Shmuel, when we're talking about Bela'ot, we never clarified which Bela'ot we mean. Well, you told us, says Rav Huna Bar Chiya to Rav Kahana, and you were quoting Shmuel. You told us that according to Shmuel, Lo Shanu, this is a reference only to the Bela'ot of Nichsei Melug. So remember what happened over here. Again, just to remind you, Nichsei Tzon Barzel are called Tzon Barzel because they are sheep made out of metal. I think General Robotics is making these kind of things now. They started with dogs and now they're on the sheep. Anyway, so.
We have one.
Oh, we have one right here. Look at this. Ah, there we go. Okay, so we've got our Tzon. Yes, indeed. This is show and tell night. So we've got our Tzon Barzel. Of course, the meaning of Tzon Barzel is anything that happens that reduces its value while it's in his Rishos. He guarantees in the event of a get, he guarantees that he's going to make good on it. And that's why we call it Tzon Barzel, because it's never going to lose its value. Nichsei Melug, those are the things that he had a right to eat the peirot of, but they're still hers, completely hers. In terms of the goof, remember, we discussed how long does that mean she can sell the goof, the takanas usha, can he remove it from it, and so on and so forth. But it's clearly a totally different type of ownership. So when we're talking about the nichsei melug bilo'ot, he never accepted any kind of responsibility on nichsei melug. It was just given to him to eat. Well, he does not have to replace that. But when it's talking about Nichsei Tzon Barzel, I mean, that was hers. Why in the world does he accepted responsibility? And if there's anything that happened to them, so then why in the world would he not be responsible? If he accepted responsibility, that's what you told us in the name of Shmuel. And then Rav Papa said, now wait a minute. Which one of the cases? We have three cases here. We have the case of a nema in it. We have the case of an island in it. And we have the case of a shnia. Now, is this across the board that you're claiming that? That there's a difference between melug and nichsei tzon barzel? Because that doesn't add up to me at all. I mean, let's go through them one by one. We want to say that we're referring to the nema in it. It's ridiculous. I mean, if the bela'ot exists, so there are bela'ot kayamim, so then why in the world wouldn't she understand? So because she walked out on him, which is part of her rights, so because of that, she loses things that he's going to keep? He's not going to return it? They're still there? That's insane. Why would that be? So then, she would be taking bela'ot, both of nichsei melug and of nichsei tzon barzel. If they don't exist anymore, that she's not going to be able to collect either of them because the ball would say, now, wait a second, over here, gentlemen, the court. I mean, when I accepted responsibility to take care of these things and to replace them in the event of my death or in the event of a divorce. Why in the world would I be stupid enough to take responsibility for her world walking out? I mean, I never meant to accept that. It's crazy. So therefore, even if I used her nichsei maluk, she brought in this beautiful overcoat, and I used it, and it's true, I wore it out, and I wasn't supposed to. But, I mean, basically, when I married her, understanding that if she was going to walk out on me, that I would not have to return the blaot, so why should I? I mean, I accepted, as I say, if I would be the one that caused her to leave, well, then, of course, I would replace it 100%. But why would Shmuel say that she would be able to collect Son Barzel? Why would she be able? So let's try another case. Let's try the case of the ironing, all right? So again, if these bilaot are kayamot, se'ide it nahu, so then again, just because she's an ironer, she doesn't get a right to her property, what is that supposed to mean? I mean, that's crazy. Of course, we're going to give her knots of some kind. Either less, no. And if they don't exist, and you want to make a difference between nichsei tzon barzel, nichsei malug, I could entertain that difference, but it ought to be in the opposite direction. You should have said the opposite. What you should have said was like this, that nichsei malug are hers, right? And he was never supposed to wear that overcoat. So they're bereshuta kaima. So the nichsei malug, she should be able to sue for them. But the nichsei tzon barzel, she brought it into the baal. And over there, since she brought them into the baal, and the baal had every right to wear them and only agreed to take responsibility in the event that they were really married. But I mean, saying if I would have known she was an islandess, I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's a mekachtos. I wanted children. I wanted a woman that's going to develop normally. And what am I going to do with this basically child forever? And therefore, Shmuel should have said the opposite, that bilaot of the nichsei tzon barzel, that I understand why she can't collect, but nichsei malug, why not? So there's only one case left where this might make sense. And what is that case? On the case of the shnia. So he says, not the Mamanis, not the Islanders. Maybe it's the case of the Shnia, who is doing an Isser in marrying him. And there too, I would have thought the same thing. It ought to be opposite. I mean, we ought to give her the next time move because it's hers. And he used it without permission. And the Belot of Tzon Barzel, I mean, okay, over there, he had a right to use it. So why do we see the opposite? There I have an excuse. You see, I can explain why we would say the opposite. Because the Shnia has nothing to lose in getting married to him. Because the idea over here is, since it's only a Shnia derabbanan, there's no mamzerut, there's no psul, and so on. And therefore, it's the opposite case of the case of the Kohen Gadol, where we think that he seduced her and so on. So the Rabbanan wanted to give her a knas to make it less likely that she would do something like this, marry a guy like this. So because of that, they gave her a knas. And she is unable to collect what it would normally have been from him, which is the ksuva, the mizonas, the bilaot of nichsei malug, which he used without permission. And that's what we're saying she can't get, because it's the opposite of what you would have thought she would get. And that's going to teach her a lesson. But to the Baal, we give the knas that he should not get what it was that he was thinking that he would get, and he would get from her, and that would be the bilaot of nichsei tzon barzel, which had a right to use. No, we're going to make him pay for it, teach him a lesson. And that's the point, therefore. If we were talking about lo balaot by balaot by the other two cases, the mamaenet or the case of the ironies, that's talking about where they're not around anymore. But we could never say the balaot kayamin. Now, by the shnia over there makes sense. that she does not get Nechseh Melot. Knas. On Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, but one thing is very clear over here from Rav Kahana's quote of Shmuel, he is treating the Nechseh Melot as she had brought in a coat. He's treating that coat as not peirot. Wearing the coat is not peirot. He's treating that as an iser. He didn't have any right to wear that coat. So what was he supposed to do with that nechseh melot? He was supposed to use it for purchasing something that would have peiros, where she would keep the actual value that she had brought in. But he can't wear out the coat. That's for sure. That's clearly what it seems that Rav Kahana holds, so that it has a din of Karen and doesn't have a din of Peres. And we do not say that he has a right to just wear it, keep wearing it till it wears out. No. Absolutely not. He has to give her back, Rav Kahana is saying. He has to give her back the Belaot HaBegodim, and he has to pay for them, even if they're not here. So clearly he wasn't allowed to use them. But Reb Nachman says beferish that bringing in a coat gives the Baal the right to use the coat. Well, I can't help that. Reb Nachman obviously argues from Reb Kahana. That's fine. Reb Nachman, pliga. Okay, moving on now, we said the Meme'enet, the Shnia, the Ilanit, they do not get any kind of ketubah. What does that mean? Says Shmuel, it means they don't get the Iker HaKetubah. Because they don't get the money for the Amona, they don't get the Mataim for a Betula. But if he gave a Tosefet on his own, then they do get a Tosefet, because remember we understood earlier that the din of the Tosefet is given just for the pleasure of intimacy. So we call it Hana'at Bi'a. And therefore, it doesn't really matter, because the pleasures of intimacy he had, and therefore feeling positively inclined towards this girl, he gave her a gift. It's not a legal chiyuv, obviously, so he doesn't lose that gift. And that is, she doesn't lose that gift. So Tosefet Yeshlen. Tanya Namiach, we have a brighter that says Beferish, Nashim Shamu Chachamim. We have different languages that are used when it comes to the ketuvah. Sometimes we say Ein Lehem Ketuvah. Sometimes we say Yotzot B'lo Ketuvah. That doesn't mean the same thing, even though it sounds the same. So the klal is that where we use the language of Ein Lehem Ketuvah, which includes our Mishnah, the Mima'enet, the Shnia, the Island is, what it means is that Ein Lehem Manu Matayim Avol Tosefet Yeshlem. Masha Enkin, where the Chachomim used the Lashon of Yotzot Shelo B'Ketuvah, that would be, for instance, the case of Overet Al Dat, V'Chavrotah, those cases that we had, woman that makes Nedarim, or she has Mumin, or she's Mikalelet, his family in front of them. We had a whole list of things. Those things are canceled, even if they gave her a gift of a Tosefet. Obviously, the Ikar Ketuvah, one of my time are canceled, but he never would have given her a gift. She's going to sit around being such a witch, in which she's cursing out his parents in front of him. That's ridiculous. If the assumption is that she's been sleeping around, so over there, that's also considered to be like an Uveret Al Dad, and she loses the Ketuvah and the Tosefet, and she's no telet. All she can take is what is still left from an Nechseh Melot. So she gets the telet b'mashal of Anah v'yotzan. She gets out of there. Misayele Ravuna, which proves Ravuna's point. Ravuna's point was that if a woman is mizana, although she certainly loses the ketuvah and the tosefet, but below otel kayamin, those things she still gets. If they're around, she doesn't lose the things that are hers. And in fact, there was a Tana that told Reb Nachman, this was a Tana that was quoting a Braita, and Reb Nachman's listening to this Braita, didn't like it one bit. And that was that if Zinta, Hifsida Bela Otea Kayami, that she would actually lose even that. Omar Leis, Reb Nachman said to that Tana, where the heck do you get that from? I mean, just because she's been sleeping around, does that mean that all her property has been sleeping around? I mean, what kind of weird thing is that? What does sleeping around on her part have to do with taking away ownership of something? You know, if I could see that coat sleeping around with other coats, then you could start talking about this. But until then, I'm not interested. And so therefore, in easing talk, well, Mizanai, did the coats go around sleeping with other coats? So you've got a mistake in your bright. Eloi, to me, what it should say is loiv sida kayamin. And that's exactly what we said, that Ravuna pointed out. Omer Rabba Baruchana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Zo divrei Menachem, Rabbi Menachem. So what we're learning over here is the fact that min hastam, the way we had it originally, it doesn't mean it's completely wrong. That zinta ifsida belotel is, in fact, an accurate thirsa, but it's not the halacha. It was going according to Rabbi Menachem, and Rabbi Menachem is often stimata. He often is quoted as a stam brayta. He said many of the inyanim in the brayta without attributing it to him. So that's how this got mixed up. When Nach was correcting it, it was basically corrected according to the Rabbana. The Chachamim argue, and they say, Zimta loiv sida belotea kayamim.
Zibonei, you have to get him before the get. He's holding it, so the get happens when he takes a second. You're saying, Bonei, you got to get it to ready before.
Well, yeah, Bonei is not even here. He can't bother me, right?
What is a shnia?
You need some of Gavi and Moshe's flashcards, but Gavi is not here.
It's not just a second wife.
No, a shnia is a second order erva. And the Rabbanan Aser. So the Torah Asers, the mother, the woman of the mother, the Rabbanan Aser, the woman of the grandmother. Exactly. So we just extend it to other generations. I thought you were with us since you won this.
The reminder. I was in your reminder. It's been a while.
No, it's just, you know, he's got his mind on that second wife. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he hasn't got to the first one.
That's why he has his mind on the second one.
I was just throwing him off the boat.
Okay. Now, the Mishnah ended with the words, if he married her initially, knowing that she was an islandist, so then she got her with the ksuba. Omravina. In a way, you know, sometimes an islandist is a normal wife, and sometimes she isn't. And sometimes an almana who marries a kohen gadol is a real wife, and she has a ksuba, and sometimes it isn't. And let me explain. An islandist is sometimes a wife and sometimes not a wife. He cared about if he knew that she was my own sister, then she's a wife. And obviously, there is no mikach ta'ut. But lo yikirba, if he didn't know that she was an islandist before they got married, you know, and found out afterwards, then emak tuva, because then we say it's a mikach ta'ut. Almana, and almana, however, to a regular guy, ben yikirba, because, look, I mean, you could find out, can't you, whether she is an almana before. So this is not something, I mean, you can't find out that she's an islandist before. I mean, unless you do genetic analysis, she's still a kid. But you would certainly be able to know that she was married before. So if you didn't, weren't mevarer, so then you took the risk, and therefore she gets the ketubah. I don't care whether, you know, you're a kohen gadol, whatever you are. You should have done your actual best efforts to find out. So there is no due diligence. So you're the one who loses. With Yudaimer, Achad Zu, either the islandist, the Achad Zu, or the Almana are dependent on whether you knew. Isha Veina Isha Yikirba, you knew Yesh Laktuva. Lo Yikirba, Eina Ktuva, still considered to be a Mekach Ta'ud. Asks the Gemara on Ravuna, Meisvei. It says, Kohen Gadol, Shekanesa b'cheska shekein v'nimtzin shekein yesh lo ktuva. Kohen Gadol marries an almana. knowing that she's an Almana, and yeah, sure enough, people told him she's an Almana, and it turns out she is an Almana, so there's still a Ksuva. But what does that mean? That means that if it wasn't Becheska Shulkein, it was Stam, nobody said anything about it. So then apparently Ema Ktuva would have to be open knowledge, or she told him that I'm an Almana, you know? So Mashma, not like you, because you said Minas Stam Ema Ktuva. So what we could say is, says Ravuna, lo tema stoma in laktuva. That's the wrong, actual wrong implication. What the bright is implying is ema kenasabach has katcha ena came. The nim said she he came if he took her with the understanding that she was definitely not an amona, and it turned out that she had hidden that. So ema ktuva. But if he just took her stam and didn't do due diligence before, then she would. Oh, really now? Stomamai, what do you say? That the din is that Yidla, she would have a ketuba? So isn't this a little ridiculous to write Becheska Sheikain, when Imsa Sheikain Yeshla ketuba? Why are we saying Becheska Sheikain? You should have said, without a chazoka at all, you just took her stomach, so then Yeshla ketuba, right? So it's clear that your way of learning the Braita makes absolutely no sense. Not to mention the fact, I mean, I hate to tell you this, Ravuna, but there's another Braita that says, spells it out word for word. The other Braita says, Tani kinasa biyadua, he took her as an amana, and sure enough, nimtzei biyadua, turned out that the rumors were true. Only then yesh laktuva. But if kinasa stam, then ein laktuva, okay? I think it's pretty clear. To Yuftad Ravuna, that's the end of Ravuna Shita. How did Ravuna make that mistake? Because Ravuna was fooled by the Mishnah. Matnitin ati'ite. The Mishnah confused them because since, if you take a look in the Mishnah, it only makes a distinction about whether you knew or you didn't know about the islands, right? Not about the Amon. So since it says the difference between Ikirba in the islandess, and it doesn't say a word about if you were Ikirba with an Amon, it just says Amon Kongono, you should look to it. It's all it says. Mashma in the Mishnah, then Amona even Bistoma, Nami Itra. And that was a mistake, because the correct way to read the Mishnah is Velohi, Kikatani Lala Amona, when it continued in the Reisha, discussing the din of the islandess and added Almana, it meant that the Almana is the same as the islandess, in the same way that there's a distinction about knowing whether she was an islandess, in which case it's not obviously a mekartos. There's also the same distinction when it comes to the Almana. And this brings us to a very important moment in which we get a word from our capitan where he has someone nipping on his heels right on top of his head, and he better do a very good job because AI is hard at work here, and I'm told that it now drops rocks from one screen to the next if you're not careful. So, you're on, Rich. So, look.
No, you're on.
Hadron Allah. Hadron Allah, how many is on it?
Bleeder. Funkten Helika Perek.
Great. Your sound is low. Yeah. Okay. Now we move on. Hanosei Eta Isha. How about if a guy? Oh, man. We're getting into guys that get themselves into more and more trouble as we go further on in this Pesach, right? So in this case, somebody marries a woman and he makes a deal with her. She says, you know, okay, but I have daughters from her previous marriage. I mean, you know, like, what am I going to do? All right, I'll take care of them for 5 years. That should give them enough support for them to find themselves a husband or something, right? Okay, she says, deal. So he was posikima, kedeshi azunet bitachamesh shanim. Now, how about if they get divorced? I didn't say anything about getting divorced. She's got a good deal going. She finds another sucker who makes the same deal. Okay. So you think, okay, so if the other sucker makes the same deal, so that cancels the first one's deal. Wrong. Now she's collecting double. Okay. Now, what about if she herself goes and gets married, or the daughter herself goes and gets married, and now the husband says, well, she's got a lot of support coming in. Or the guys say, well, I mean, you know, she's got a husband to take care of her now. Mm-mm. Now she's got three people supporting her. All right. So be very careful to spell out how, what the conditions are for the support. So if he was poskim HaKadosh Yazunet Bita Chamesh Shanim, then that's the deal. Chayav Lazuna Chamesh Shanim. That's not part of the ketubah. That's just a straight out debt that he incurs. Niseit Lahakar, she goes ahead and marries somebody else. Upaska Imo Kadesh Yazunet Bita Chamesh Shanim. So he still gives her the Chamesh Shanim, and the first one cannot say, Loyal Marishon, well, you know, when the woman comes back, yes, I will certainly take care of her daughter. But I mean, I never wanted to take care of a daughter when she's going to walk out on me. No. Molich la mizonotea. This guy has got to take care of that daughter wherever mommy is. The makom she ima. The chain loyom rushneem. The two can't get together and say, all right, we got together. Together, we're going to give her all the mizonos that she needs. No. These are two separate deals. Echad zona, one of them brings her food, and the other one provides the money that it would have cost to give her the food. I mean, she can't eat twice the food. And if she goes there and gets married, niseit habal noten la mizonot, then the husband gives her her food, and they pay for what it would have cost to provide for her. Now, this sounds like a real friar, Richie. This is the kind of thing that only Richie would do, no? First class tickets for the kids. Yes, indeed. First class tickets for the kids while Richie sits in the back of a plane. Sure. Anyway, classic. All right. So now what happens if these guys actually, they die? May too. They die. Okay, so what? So what if they die? Who cares? They incurred a debt, didn't they? So in this case, may too, if the original husband and the second husband dies, and the deal is, believe it or not, their own children are only able to get a parnasa from the chasim b'nei chorin. Right? You can't go ahead and collect your tenei ketuvah from the chassid that have been sold to somebody else. But these children, stepchildren, they're not even stepchildren now because she's divorced, they are going to be able to sue for even nechassim mishubadim and take it away from the kuchot. Man, oh man. Then the property insurance is going to have to be paid by the heirs. What a mess. So beautiful. Why? Because she could buy a lot of. She's a standard balat chov. I mean, she looks like a family member, but she is not a family member. So anyway, if you got any brains, hapikrin, if you got brains, if you're going to get into a mess like this, so then ayukotvim almanacha zunet pitechamishanim kozman shahatimi. As long as you stick out our merit, yeah, then I'm willing to take care of your kids. Okay, so see, Rich, we've got them all figured out. Should have read this Mishnah first.
Does that mean I have to divorce my kids?
Okay. Moadim la simcha, everybody. I hope that I'll see you back and